Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Hey, we are starting here. So Chad, good to see you. Katie, good to see you. We have our main story from SeedSpark as an IP Company from the book Katie and I published. Chad, it's a privilege to be with you. You are the man who oozes IP. I think all day long you're on with entrepreneurs.
Yes. So
why don't you tell us a little bit about your company and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So first and foremost, thank you both for the opportunity to be here. Obviously been a big fan for a very long time. The impact that you're having with Instant IP for just making IP approachable for all entrepreneurs is profound. And obviously working with Miss Katie in the past, and that's been awesome. So a little bit about me. Grew up in South Carolina, way out in the country where time moves backwards. Not a lot of IP conversations going on out there.
That's right.
Though yet they're creating intellectual property. It just hadn't made its way. So fortunate, graduated high school a little bit early and came to Charlotte, North Carolina. And I had been in businesses starting around the sixth grade and figured out how to make money around 8 years old, just with leveraging my vision, capability, and reach that I have. So that ended up creating just over 50 something companies to get to where we are currently. Wow. There's a bunch of initial startups. I'm drawn to recognize friction. I quantify friction in three different ways. And the most attractive one is the friction that no one's having an immediate behavioral reaction to, but perhaps you were to create a solution, everybody buys it. So I was able to do that in a bunch of different industries along the way. And as it turns out, as I got a little bit older and was introduced to you guys, I now understand the way in which I did that was intellectual property in each and every one of those organizations.
Wow. So
not a lot of looking backwards, of course, but if perhaps you were to look backwards, that's a lot of money left on the table from all of those organizations that I've created a unique way to generating value for those in the industry that nobody else was doing. And when I exited those organizations, I did not get an IP check or consideration. I don't do that anymore going forward, thanks to you guys.
Katie, how common is that, that people, you know, newer in the entrepreneur journey? I'd say it's rare. Don't you think it's rare that the entrepreneur who thinks of IP is with an exit is rare, Katie?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's very common to overlook the IP in your company, right? You're very busy running the operations and maybe you think, oh, I don't have any IP. You know, I haven't created some new device or some new process. So I think it's very common that you don't even realize that you've created IP.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I often say, knowing the way that we do what we do is the secret sauce. So in all the, Carrie, you mentioned just working with entrepreneurs, many of them, all day long, every day, all across the planet. What I most recognize is their invoices look like others' invoices in their industry, but their work does not. And it's very, very consistent. So helping them open their eyes to the way that they're creating the value is the secret sauce, and giving it a name is a huge unlock. And I haven't yet met an entrepreneur that doesn't apply to. So wow. Katie, to your point, they're overlooking the main thing that's creating the value in their businesses. And that is the way that they're doing what they do to create that value. Spot on.
So it's like the person who says, I do Windows, you do Windows. There's not much difference, but us three here would say, oh, wow. Look at the way you do your pricing, your packaging, your
absolutely
service, your service plan, your loyalty, your branding, your logo. Katie, Chad's one who's really coined this term, name the baby, which is essentially giving a name to the IP. How important, Katie, is naming?
Oh, yeah. Good question. You know, I was just talking to a client about this yesterday because they were asking, you know, why should I go through with trademarking my brands, right? And I think, Carrie, you are a firsthand testament to this because the problem is if you don't protect it, right, someone else can come in and protect it, and then you have to go through a rebrand, right? That wasn't exactly what happened to you. That was more of a trademark dispute, but challenge, but it can really create so much greater hurdles to have to spend a lot of money to do a whole rebrand. And I think the other issue too is if you have a unique name or product line that you want to associate with the name, how you can really drive value is through consumer recognition of that brand, right? And so take, for example, the Nike check mark. Everybody around the world knows what that is and associates that with Nike. And so that's a very valuable piece of IP that they've created because there is so much consumer recognition for the brand. So it's also this way to kind of exclusively build up value in your branding as well.
I love that. Chad, I know that you have so much success. You really do. What was maybe a failure, an unlock where you're like, oh, I'm not going to do that again regarding IP? Was there ever some bumps along the way besides your personal story of just not capturing it all?
Yeah, I'll look backwards at one specific one, many, many years ago, before the iPhone was released. I was in the wireless business. And in that wireless business, I didn't really care so much about phones themselves. I cared only about the outcome, which is consistent in all the companies I've created. It's not about the organization, it's about the value created. So in that particular business, there's a recurring residual component to the compensation when you sold a phone way back when. And of course, mobile devices were becoming prolific back then as well, the early 2000s. And because I didn't have control of that recurring residual, I definitely wanted to create my own residual. So I did, recognizing the friction in that industry. And we all probably know because owning organizations, you have multiple phones on a corporate account, maybe not so much anymore, but back then in those days, you did. Everyone's bill was messed up. Everyone's bill, right? If you think about it, being the carrier with so much growth so fast, and every 30 days you're changing rate plans, that's a lot to keep up with. And you have usage against it that has all these particulars. So I created an organization, or basically a service that became an organization, that provided wireless management. This is before there was a telecom expense management industry. This is about $6 billion a year. This is at the very beginning. So if I would have wrapped intellectual property around that, at the time there were two providers. There was me on the East Coast of the US that did mobile phones and mobile wireless account management. And then there was an organization called Tango on the West Coast that had backing and funding, and they did your cable, like your internet and all of those types of fees, and they would help you with your bill. So as I mentioned, now that's about a $6 billion a year industry. And think of what that could have traded for when I sold that organization. Obviously, just on the cash flows, a wildly successful recurring business with not a lot of cost. But if I'd have wrapped IP around that, at least a 10x return above what I yielded.
So, Katie, you've consulted with me recently about an IP holding company. Chad has one. So, Katie, maybe you tee it up and then Chad, you can share about it. But I think everyone's very curious, at least when I bring it up, about an IP holding company and why you do it and then how that works. Katie, can you give kind of a little thoughts on that? And then Chad, you can talk about your IP holding company.
So an IP holding company, a lot of times it depends on your kind of corporate structure and corporate strategy. If you have, different sub-entities and different corporations, but a lot of times what you can do is create an IP holding company. Could be something as simple as, say, an LLC that will own your IP. And then you can license it back to different operating companies as they need it to practice it. And a lot of times, this might be done for different tax reasons, different accounting purposes, different cash models with investors, and sometimes too, if you want to go, let's say, enforce your IP, you want to kind of keep it in a different entity. So there can be a lot of reasons why you do this, and you know, it can be part of your overall business strategy too. Well,
that's good. Chad, what year did you create yours, as much as you want to share? And then, like, what was your strategy for doing it?
It's about 5 or 6 years ago originally. So we first started with trademarking our name, Seed Spark, and then we've done a few other items certain way back when. So I wanted to, after selling all those companies and just starting, and I was really starting to understand more and more about IP, mm-hmm. I wanted to separate it, because there's some things that, because all of this has been created from the word zero, like it didn't exist before. So I wanted to own it separately in case I wanted to leverage the intellectual property, taking that wireless management strategy of having IP around that. Today, I would apply that to IT services. How many of us pay lots and lots of different licensing for our cybersecurity and et cetera? All of your IT is now typically software as a service. So the model would still apply to a little bit of a different industry or adjacent industry if I had that IP. So with that mindset, I began to, and Kitty, to your point, I think it's low hanging fruit for entrepreneurs of any size just to spin up an LLC and to begin to leverage and own all of their IP in that LLC. So I license it back to the organization or organizations that I own that are using that intellectual property. And I think even more than the low-hanging fruit of doing it, because it doesn't take a lot of effort, it's the mindset change. When you give something a name, the way that you do what you do, you own that in your holdings company, and you go through the effort of having a simple license agreement to the other company that you own, you begin to think differently about that IP. It was a big shift for me whenever I began this track. Now I look at IP as truly an asset. And I can use that asset not only for an organization that I own, but it begins to make you think horizontally, not just vertically. Like vertically, of course, I own the IP and my company is licensing it from me, complete control. Of course, it sits on the P&L of the operating company that's using the IP. Therefore, if I were to go sell it, I'm going to sell it based upon the cash flows. I can still get a royalty, or they can pay me two checks if they want to also own the IP. But the big catalyst was pulling that out and putting it into and holdings company made me start thinking horizontally, is who else could use this intellectual property? I did not think that way until I separated it from the operating company that I owned that was using it.
That's cool. Yeah. Even in the book, Katie, remember we talk about Magnolia and how, you know, Chip and Joanna Gaines, they have their business Magnolia, but then they actually have a holding company, which is interesting too. Chad, you're one of these guys who all day long you're on these strategic calls with entrepreneurs. What does that look like? Are you mining? Are you harvesting IP? And Katie, share your new company name really quick. It's Wiggin
and Dana.
Yeah. Okay.
Wiggin and Dana. Awesome.
Yeah,
we're going to do. So we'll tap in and see what Katie's up to here in a second. But Chad, what are you up to like all day long pretty much with entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so all day long I'm getting introduced to entrepreneurs, and each one of them have an objective. If you were to ask me, and if you hear anything that I talk about, we're all not thinking big enough, right? Just the understanding that everything that we see, that we've seen or we ever will see, started as an idea in someone's imagination. And furthermore, that person didn't make it a real. They always engaged in a collaboration with another person, place, or thing to bring that idea to life. So the cause that I'm on with entrepreneurs is to, one, understand their objectives, their big dreams, and help them, and oftentimes add a zero to it, which of course is where the first book name came from.
Yeah.
Knowing that we have the capability of leveraging the art of collaboration to make all these dreams come true. That means that we're probably not thinking big enough. Like somebody figured out how to do this 80-inch TV or this camera or this microphone or the internet that's connecting us today.
Yeah.
Why not you? Have an imagination. It came factory installed, right? And certainly factory installed in all entrepreneurs. So that is my goal, is to help them think large enough and then also help them be combined with other entrepreneurs around the planet, that it can help bring that idea to reality and then also make it recur. So that's you would good. Expect, of course, bringing those ideas, those big ideas out of them, the way that they do what they do today, and adding a zero to the impact that they're having creates intellectual property from the word go.
Mm.
Oftentimes I'm having to help them just know that IP is reachable. We talked about setting up the little LLC as a holdings company. That's the low hanging fruit, and it's very easy. We all have LLCs, so you've done it once before. It's pretty easy to do it once again.
Mm.
But the impact, of course, to your enterprise value upon exit, and even the cash flows, and you mentioned, Ms. Katie, the tax benefits along the way of pulling that out and licensing it back to a company that you own, can be quite beneficial. So it all starts with helping them think bigger, but we have to make it real and we have to make it recur.
That's good. Well, I'm looking here at your conference. I want to give a big shout out, folks. Don't forget about that. We at Instant IP and Igniting Souls, we are a sponsor. I'll be there. Sarah will be there. We're super excited. Chad, we even created and we named the baby Coverse, an imprint that we have now authors. So your authors, we are now developed an imprint. That's pretty cool. Katie, talk to us. What are you doing the same? What are you doing differently? I'm sure Chad and I are both curious because we want to direct clients to you as well. But what are you doing at the new place?
Oh, yeah, no. So I moved law firms and I'm at Wigan and Dana, and we are sort of a full service law firm. So what's really cool is we're very heavily focused on emerging companies and entrepreneurs. So still doing all of my same work with helping companies patents. With their IP strategy patents. And I just have more kind of offerings that I can offer to startups. And what's great is we have this platform called WiganX, which is devoted to helping early stage companies with all their legal needs. So we have some creative and flexible billing structures. And so it's just a great opportunity to kind of help support entrepreneurs from the ground up here.
Wow.
It sounds very collaborative, Katie. These unique billing structures. You're definitely playing in my world, right? I don't want to deal in future money.
Right.
Well, and I'm actually right now at Yale for this innovation day, which is great. It was yesterday and today, and it's all these companies showcasing their work. And it's just been really great to meet a lot of founders and learn what they're building their companies around.
That's so good. Well, I'm hearing two collaborations, perhaps. I'm hearing Wigan and Dana, and here it is right now. It's literally just Wigan.com, correct?
Yes. Yep.
And there's that WiganX you were talking about. That's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we've got Chad with, why don't you run through, as we land the plane here, why don't you run through a couple, Chad? You got Colab, which is a community. Talk a little bit about that. Which I'm a part of. I love it so much. But yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So the SeedSpark Collab is a global entrepreneur collaboration. And what I mean when I say that is it is a community built on what I would classify as go-givers. I assume most of us have read that little red book. It's a short and very impactful read. But it's a collection of entrepreneurs from all over the planet in about every type of industry you could imagine, and some you probably would not imagine, coming together to give. What are they giving? They're giving their ideas and their capabilities and their reach to other entrepreneurs, and they're splitting the outcome of that impact. Wow. So let's say that someone wants to grow to all 50 states, and let's say someone else has already locations in all 50 states, so they already have the reach. We combine the two together if they have hero target alignment, so who they want their business to be a hero to, and we help them figure out how to split the outcome. We do it over and over. So today our run rate's about 20 per week of collaborations connecting entrepreneurs with other entrepreneurs that eventually are going to split the outcome.
That's cool. So different. Mm-hmm. Katie, your model you just shared about Wigan X and Chad's model. I mean, this is what the world needs, is this different type of way of doing business. Mm-hmm. Katie, maybe 60 seconds for you, and then Chad, and then we'll land it here. But Katie, what's the number one thing that people can think about perhaps with IP? In other words, you know, you heard Chad's story. I can relate. I missed IP with my first endeavors. But like, what's one practical thing, Katie, that entrepreneurs can do? And then Chad, I'm going to go to you.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is for entrepreneurs to take inventory of their IP, because a lot of times when you're very heavily ingrained in the technology and you're working in it day in and day out, you think, oh, this really maybe isn't new, or everybody else is doing this. Mm-hmm. But I think if you really sit down and put pen to paper and really think about what are all of your unique offerings, mm-hmm. it will help start to really organize what is really the value add. And then that can kind of help inform, okay, what should I be protecting? Kind of what are the things that are highest priority that I need to protect? And what are other things that maybe I'm never going to protect, but I at least can kind of start to track and maintain an inventory of what are all of my assets here.
That's so good. Randy Brill, who you both know, who is a instant IP advisor, like mm-hmm. you both, she took KDR 45 ideas and she made it pretty. But here's those 45 different ways that in the book we talk about. But I agree, Chad, don't you see that there's a lot of things here that entrepreneurs you talk with every day are missing?
So much. Yeah. They're an IP goldmine, to be honest. And that we focus so much on doing what we do to produce value. Yeah. And we're leaving I would argue, an equal amount of value, if not more in some instances or some mm-hmm. cases, in our intellectual property.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's good. Well, Chad, it's a blessing to know you. Katie and I have both known you for years, and you're clearly doing something right. And I would encourage people to attend CoLab Con. And those days are October-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, October 28th and 29th.
October 28th and 29th in South Carolina?
It's actually in Charlotte, North Carolina.
North Carolina, that's right.
Yeah,
Charlotte, I'll be there. I booked my ticket. And so CoLab Con, and then check out CoLab. I know you have different price points for different entrepreneurs mm-hmm. at different stages. So mm-hmm. awesome. Well, thanks for being with us today, Chad.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It was a great conversation. I really appreciate it. Always fun spending some time with you guys.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.